Okay, if everyone would turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We will conclude this series of messages beginning the new year of commitment or recommitment to certain things. And today, we're looking at the commitment or recommitment of turning from transgressions, turning from our transgressions. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, is our text of this series of messages. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you have overcome. And Lord, may that be our testimony, our witness to this world, that we too can overcome through your power and through your strength, Lord, through the power of the blood that was shed on the cross, that we can have forgiveness of sins. Lord, as we look at this very serious matter of transgressing your law, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak through me. And Lord, may I and this congregation, Lord, apply your word to our hearts and lives so that we can overcome. And may you have all the glory and praise for all eternity. In the name of Jesus that we pray, amen. Turning from transgressions. In our text this morning in Philippians chapter 3, I want you to notice in verse 12, the middle part, he says, I press on. Also look with me in verse 14, he says, I press toward the goal. I press on or I press towards the goal. Now when you think of the word press, when you think of it as a tool, a press is something that you put something in to hold it steady. And it's called a press. Also, when you think of pressing towards, it's an action word. It's like using the word press in the game of basketball. When I played basketball in high school, my coach believed in the press. Matter of fact, at every practice, we had to run the bleachers. We had to run suicides so that we could be fit enough to run a press the entire game. And that was an all-out effort, you see, to keep the ball away from the other team. An all-out effort. I press. And when you think of this term, I press on or I press towards that goal of the upward call of God, it is a solid commitment of pressing towards something. Now, what are we pressing towards? As God's people, as born-again believers, that goal in context of these verses, I press towards the goal, you can read about it in verses 8 through 11, same chapter. Verse 8, he says, yet indeed I also count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, to know Christ more, to be more like Christ. So to know Him and to be more like Him is the goal. So it is a solid, all-out effort. I press towards that goal of not being better with some self-help stuff, But my goal in life as a Christian, your goal in life as a Christian, is to be more like Christ and to know Him more. And that's what makes you a good person. Amen? That's what makes us good citizens. That's what makes us who we are, is to be more and more like Christ Jesus. That's the goal. Now, if your goal is something other than that, then it is not based on Christianity, and it is not the doctrine of Christ. So what are you pressing towards? What are we pressing on towards? Now, in this press, this all-out effort to be more like Christ, we looked at certain things over the past Sundays. Today we're looking at turning from transgressions. To be more like Christ and to know Him more, we must turn from transgressions. Now, what does transgress mean? Definitions of it in the biblical definitions means to deceive, means to trespass, it means to pass over something, it means to rebel. In other words, sin. That's what it means. You done crossed the line. You done went against what God said. You broke God's law. It's what trespass means. So it literally means rebellion against lawful authority. The trespass. Now, imagine with me, today's Super Bowl Sunday. Get your mind off of that. Let's get our mind on this. And I use this the first Sunday of introducing these series of messages about turning from transgressing. Now imagine with me football. Football is a game of gaining yardage, and the game is to get this ball over the goal line. Okay? Now we're pressing towards that goal of being more like Christ. And in football, it is marked off by yardages, and you're supposed to get that ball further and further yardage, and if you get 10 yards, you get a first down. And you do it all the way to the goal line, and you score. Everyone knows that, okay? I like to explain it, though, for you ladies. Some of y'all know more about football than me. But that's what it is. It's getting towards that goal. And it's a game of yardage. So to trespass, which means to cross over, our goal is to be more like Christ. And if that's not your goal, it's ungodliness is the goal. So ungodliness or to trespass, to cross over, means as a Christian, you're not moving forward, you've moved back, and you don't cross this line this way. You see, you've trespassed. And so, where have you trespassed? Are you pressing more to be like Jesus? Or have you trespassed? Have you transgressed God's law? I think of it also like this. To my understanding, in the state of Louisiana, you no longer have to put posted signs on your property. That you don't even have to have it marked, but if someone crosses on your property, they have trespassed, whether it's marked or not. Now please listen to me. When it comes to God's law, it says in Romans chapter 2, that the law of God is written in our hearts. Written on our hearts. So if you're not living godly and to know Him more, you have trespassed. You may not have, they may have not had this written for them, but if you go against God's law, the Gentiles who did not have the law had the law on their hearts. And if they were not pursuing God, they trespassed the law of God. Now with that, let me ask you this question. Have you transgressed? Have you transgressed? transgressed? Have you trespassed? Have you crossed over the wrong way against the law of God? Turn with me to some scripture. We're going to read a lot of scriptures this morning. James chapter 2. If you believe this is God's word, say amen with me. Amen. This is God's word. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. James chapter 2, verse 10. Or you can look on the projectors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So if you've broken one point of God's law, you have transgressed. Let's go a little further. James chapter 4, verse 17. This is one of those ouches in Scripture. You ready for the ouch? James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Ouch. Transgressed. Instead of going forward to be more like Christ and to know him more and more and to be like him, if you know to do that and you have not done it at one point or another, you have sinned. Who has sinned? For all have sinned. I have. So what can we do? Since we have transgressed, what can we do? Psalm chapter 51 is a great psalm that speaks of what we can do. Psalm 51. Let me tell you a little background of Psalm 51. King David, a man after God's own heart, as a youth he killed Goliath with a slingshot, took out Goliath's sword and chopped his head off. King David, a man after God's own heart, a giant slayer, brought the two kingdoms together and was king, a godly king who loved the Lord with all of his heart. King David walked out on the balcony and saw a beautiful woman. And instead of saying, wow, she's beautiful, and turns around, he said, wow, she's beautiful, I want her. And with the lust in his heart, he sent for Bathsheba and laid with her. He committed adultery. She was another man's wife. Committed adultery with her. And then she became pregnant. And when he found that out, he had Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, killed in battle on purpose. So he committed adultery and he was a murderer. Now he was king. Could he get away with it? He was king. Do you think he got away with it? No. Nathan the prophet told a story and it upset King David so bad he said, if I find out who that man is, he's going to pay. And Nathan said, you're the man. Now listen now to this psalm of a transgressor. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That is a prayer of someone who realized that they had transgressed the law of God. So what can we do? We can fall upon the grace and mercy of God and plead for mercy. He cried out, "Have mercy upon me, O God." He fell on grace. Grace is something that we receive from God that we do not deserve. Mercy is something that we do deserve but do not get. And that's justice. And we fall on mercy and grace as a transgressor. Now, a heresy in the church, it's nothing new, it's centuries old, is that, well, I'm saved by grace. I'll just keep on asking forgiveness. And instead of turning or with the biblical name is repenting. Instead of repenting, I'm just going to keep on doing this grace thing. Amen? Now, none of us are perfect. We're all sinners. But the heresy is just live like you want to. Okay, God loves me. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says repent. No one likes to hear repent today, but you must repent. We must repent and fall upon the grace and mercy of God. So, how to press on? You ready? We fix and get a immunization shot real quick like on how to press on, how to turn from transgressing. It involves the cultivation of new habits and not doing the habits of ungodliness. It has something to do in eliminating the old habits of ungodliness and living godly. It involves doing godly things and stop doing sinful things. And this is a constant struggle. It's a constant battle in our lives. The Apostle Paul said, "I haven't attained yet. But this one thing I do, I press on towards the goal." He hadn't attained. And if the Apostle Paul had not attained, I have not either. And neither of you. But someday we will be in His likeness and we will see Him face to face. I'm sanctified, but I'm in the process too. So what can we do in this constant struggle of all out pressing towards this goal? What can we do? You must be committed to it in this struggle. Number one, how to press on. Abstain from fleshly lusts or abstain from sinful desires. Let's turn to James again. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, as he explains about sinning. James chapter 1, verse 14. "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." So, we're tempted with our own lustful desires. Stop lusting. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Abstain from it. Stop it. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body." So flee from it. abstain from it. James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So how to press on? Number one, abstain from fleshly lust. Abstain from lustful desires. We're tempted in this. We are to flee from it and stop it. This is not something that a ceremony can do for you. It's not something that is fleshly or some ritual can do for you. But it says to abstain from it, to just simply stop it. Stop doing it. It's what the Word of God says. Secondly, how to press on. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't give in to things that causes you to be tempted. Flee from it. Stay away from it. Make no provision. Don't feed it. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Don't do things that will cause you to sin or to put you in a predicament. If one of your sins is gluttony, don't go to the China buffet after church and say, "Oh, I'm being tempted." Don't go there. Go to the youth fundraiser. Put a couple of $100 in the basket and eat a little thing of spaghetti. That's simple. If your problem, sin, we call them problems and all of that, but it's sin. If it is lust, get off of the computer. Stop watching the television shows. Don't put yourself in those predicaments that will cause you to lust, to be tempted. If it's some addiction like drugs and alcohol, stay away from it. Abstain from it. By the way, we have a church covenant that you ought to not be a part of it anyway. Amen? People's whole lives are ruined by it. Don't go with the people who do. Don't date the girls who do or the boys who do. Stay away from it. Don't feed it. Thirdly, how to press on. Fix your heart upon Jesus. Same verse, Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Fix your heart not on sinful desires, but fix your heart upon Jesus Christ. Put your eyes upon Him, the eyes of your heart, steadfast upon Jesus. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure, just as Jesus is pure. So put on Christ to press on. Here's an example. Here's a glove. Okay? By the way, we only have one of these at the house. If I've left a glove or something, give it back to me. A glove, and here's a Bible. Oh, glove, pick that Bible up. Please, glove, pick the Bible up. You see what I'm doing? Can this glove pick the Bible up? Of course not. How about if I do this? Put the hand in the glove. I can pick that Bible up now. I can do all kinds of things now with this glove. Please listen to me. Without Jesus, I can't do it, neither can you. Without Jesus, we're pressing on towards the wrong goals. But with Jesus in our hearts and lives, we can attain the goal. We can abstain and be more like Christ. We need His help. It's a constant, constant struggle. We need help in this struggle. Stop doing it. Stop doing it with the help of Christ. It's not some 12-step program. Stop it. Just stop it and look to Christ. Trust in Him. Put on Christ, Jesus. We're going to give you an opportunity this morning. If you do not know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never asked Jesus in your heart and life, I'm going to give you an opportunity to, I'll help you in any way I can. It's between you and the Lord. I'll pray with you, lead you in a prayer. But we do ask you to make it public. Confess Jesus before men. Be a witness for Him. All we'll do is hug your neck. We'll hug your neck and pray for you and help you all that we can. Born again believer, stop it. Abstain. With His help, press on. With His help. Let's pray. Lord, help us to tend to eternity. Help us, Lord, to serve You. To be on the right team and not on the wrong team. Help us, Lord, each day to be more like You until we are in Your presence. Lord, help us now, even in this invitation, to bring You glory. In Jesus' name, amen.